Thank you, Joyful Singers, and thank you, Brimers, for sharing that family moment with us. I love the fact that these kids pointed us towards Jesus, because in the end, that's what it's about. It's not about moms. I mean, moms are wonderful. It's about Jesus. It's not about worship teams or preachers. It's about Jesus, and we do want to worship Him always. And I love our church family. Such a blessing to be a part of you and to have kids who are singing and to have opportunities for interaction and fellowship with each other, the relationships that are formed and that last for a lifetime within what is known as the family of God. I very much desire that we would celebrate a day like Mother's Day in that context. This is an important day to honor the moms and the grandmoms whose influence and sacrifice and love have made us the people that we are. But it is also an important day, and no less an important day, to remember all of those ladies who throughout our lives have been used by God to form us. I'm thinking here in my own life of Sunday school teachers and of youth workers. I'm thinking within our congregation of those ladies who on this day don't have birth children that they are celebrating, but who have spent their lives investing in others, pouring out their lives in caring, in nurturing, and in bringing up people in the Word of the Lord. This is all very specific to this morning because we are going to be studying out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, some verses that have recently become very significant in my life, and that is Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. These are verses about leadership, but they point towards everyone who has been a leader in our life, recognizing how the Lord has used them and then seeking to put into practice the things that we have seen in them. And so I'm reading Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8. The author of Hebrews urges us to remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're told to remember in this passage. And remembering is a significant activity. It's a significant biblical activity. And I want to point out from the very beginning that this command is given to us in such a way that we are to constantly remember. It's not a once-a-year activity, take a minute, think about it, be thankful, and then move on with life. We are told to constantly be remembering. Remembering is important because it gives us an anchor on which to live. One significant biblical example of remembering is when the people of Israel were crossing the Jordan River, going into the promised land the very first time. And God performed an amazing miracle as He opened the Jordan for them to cross on dry land. But as they marched across, they didn't simply go and the waters closed and then they went on their way and forgot about it. A leader from every tribe was to take a stone from the middle of the river. And when they got to the other side, they built a pillar. It wasn't an altar for sacrifice, it was a pillar for remembrance. And they were told in the years to come and the generations to come, when your children see that pillar of stones by the side of the Jordan River and say, "What's that about?" Remind them. Tell them the story of how God in His mighty power brought you out of slavery, of how God in His mighty power opened up the river before you, so that they won't forget, so that they will have this anchor in their life, an understanding of who God is and what He has done for His people. Remember, they're told. Jesus told us to remember. We have a table of remembrance. We come here to celebrate the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remind yourselves of the mighty things that I have done, Jesus says. Remind yourselves of the gospel, the good news of salvation. Remind yourselves of the blessing of the cross. Remember, not just once, but constantly, establish that pillar of remembrance, that table of remembrance, that thing that brings you back to what Jesus has done on your behalf. In the letters of the New Testament, the idea of remembering is often connected as well with prayer. Paul tells the churches that he gives thanks for them, that he constantly brings them up before God, remembering in prayer their work, their faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness and hope. Paul remembers the churches as he is praying, and then he asks the churches to remember him in their prayers. Allow your minds to think about what God has done, about his grace at work among you, and about the difficulties that you're going through. Remembering is important. And so here in this passage, the author of Hebrews calls us to remember, probably prayerfully, certainly with affection and thanksgiving, to remember your leaders. So the next thing that then comes up is this idea of who were these leaders? It's an important question because the thing I'm saying this morning is that anybody who has had influence in your life and has helped establish you as the person that you are today is the kind of leader that the author is talking about and is calling us to remember. You see, the word that's used here in this passage is rather a rare word in the New Testament, and it refers specifically to leadership. It's not one of those biblical words, theological words like elder or overseer. It's actually a word that is most commonly used in a secular sense, referring to someone who has leadership. It could be leadership in a city government. It could be rulers. It could be commanders of armies. It's used in reference to Paul, actually, in the book of Acts, in a negative context, when he and Barnabas were preaching the gospel and the people wanted to, and the Lord performed a miracle and the people wanted to lift them up as gods, and they referred to Paul as a god because he was the leading speaker. He was the chief speaker. That's that idea of leadership that's in there. Again, used in the scriptures in a variety of contexts, used in its essence as a word referring to leadership in our lives. The author of Hebrews is referring to those who had established this Christian community, or these Christian communities to whom he was writing. If you go back and look through the book of Acts and look through the writings of Paul, you will see that all kinds of folks were involved in the establishing of these Christian communities. Read through the greetings at the end of Romans, at the end of the books of Corinthians. Read through Philippians, read through Colossians, and see the mentioning of those who were involved in leadership in those communities. And you will see a group of men and women who were essential to the establishment of the gospel as the missionary endeavor went out. A very interesting passage in this regard comes from the book of Acts out of chapter 4. In chapter 2 and in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, we find mention of a Christian community, a gathering of men and women who followed Jesus Christ and who gathered together for prayer, who waited on the Holy Spirit, who received the Holy Spirit, who spoke with power. In Acts chapter 4, after the disciples had been persecuted, they went back to this community. Acts 4:23 says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They went back to this group of believers, and they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And then there's a long prayer that takes place, this community praying together. And then in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And the Word of God goes out from that place, and people are won to Jesus, and communities established. These are people who were committed to the good news of Jesus Christ, and who went out and spoke the Word of God, and churches grew and were established. And the author of Hebrews is saying, remember those people. Remember those people who established this community among them. Remember those people who spoke the Word of God to you. Freedom to Lead is a ministry that I've had an opportunity to be involved in. Talked about it a couple weeks ago, just mentioning this week as well, because we spend some time at the very beginning in this particular passage, urging the men and women from around the world who are gathering together for leadership development to start out this leadership journey by remembering. And the question is asked, and I might ask you the same question this morning, think about one person who has had great influence in your life and who you are today. Just pause for a second and get that person in your mind. Then we talk about Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. And then we ask people to tell their stories, to share their stories. And you might think, well, this is a group of church leaders, and so they're going to spend most of their time talking about big, important people who exercise some sort of authority. But for the most part, when people tell their stories, they go back and talk about someone who invested in them. Someone who invested time and love and energy. Someone who poured their heart and their life into this individual and is influential not because of a position of power, but because of the ministry of the Word of God on the part of that person in their life. And as often as not, that's a woman. God brings all kinds of people into our lives through whom He ministers His Word and forms us into what we are today. Paul is saying, remember, the author of Hebrews, I'm sorry, could be Paul, is saying, remember these leaders. By the way, I owe a lot of this sermon to Rick Sessoms, the founder of Freedom to Lead, who introduced this passage and who opened up some of the ideas about remembering your leaders. We are referring to those who have played a role in establishing or founding us as who we are today. We are remembering these leaders, and the specific thing that we are remembering about them is that they spoke the Word of God to you. Remember your leaders who spoke to you the Word of God. That is the single identifying statement that's given us in this passage. And it's key, because it is the Word of God that is given to us as power for change in our lives. Scriptures describe the Word to us as powerful, as living, as active. The author of Hebrews says that the Word of God penetrates to the very core of our being, helping us to understand our motivations, helping us to recognize our sin, and pointing us towards Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that it is the Word of God that engenders faith within us to believe the good news of Jesus Christ and to be saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Jesus Himself tells us that the Word of God is the power for change, for sanctification. Jesus prays to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. So the significant thing that we're remembering about these folks who have been so foundational in our lives is that they ministered the Word of God to us. In our homes or in our Sunday school classes or in our church gatherings, in one-on-one conversations, investing their lives in us as they teach us the Word of God and as they point us to the Scriptures, and then as God accomplishes His mighty work of salvation and sanctification through the Word of God. Remember the leaders, that they spoke the word of God to you. And then another command is given in this passage, and that is the command to imitate. Remember, all the time, go back and think about them, and then imitate their faith. We're frequently called in Scripture to imitate others. We're called to imitate God, but Paul also says that we can imitate Him to the extent that He follows Jesus Christ. Paul says, if you've seen anything good in me, put it into practice. Paul calls the churches to imitate other churches and believers to imitate other believers as they follow Jesus. Sometimes we might get confused as we look at the Scriptures and think, what should I do? But if we can see the example of other people who are doing good things, then we can follow that example and in that way be following Jesus Christ. So the author calls us to imitate these leaders. But there's an interesting progression of logic or of action that is taking place in these verses. Look at it again, the second part of verse 7. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So there's three things that we have in mind here. We're to give a careful look to the outcome of someone's way of life. A way of life is just how we conduct ourselves. In a biblical sense, a way of life is how we manifest day to day what we hold to be true or what we believe in. James says, do you think you're wise? Well, show it in your day-to-day living and in the deeds that you produce. The author of Peter himself, calls us to be careful how we conduct ourselves, how we live among the world, so that they will see the outcome of our lives, so that they will see our good deeds and give glory to God. A way of life isn't just simply, hey, I live day to day, I kind of do what I want to do. A way of life is an intentional manifestation of what we believe and what we hold to in such a way that we give God glory. Our way of life is to be intentional. And our way of life is measured by outcome. It's really true. This verse says, consider the outcome of their way of life. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. Scripture calls us not simply to give lip service to certain things, but to live them out in such a way that fruit is produced for God's glory. And so, here in this passage we are told, look at the outcome. Because it's important. Because that is the fruit that God gives as the result of a way of life that manifests faith. Having given careful attention to that outcome, we then imitate the faith that is behind that outcome. But before moving on to that thought, I just feel the need to pause and to dwell on that idea a little bit more. Because honestly, it's scary. Sometimes we look at a way of life and it's questionable. I blow it. That's what I'm trying to say. Day to day, day in and day out, I blow it. And we all do. We make mistakes. If you look at the way of life somebody's leading at any particular moment, the jury might be out as to what kind of judgment you're going to make on it. So it can be scary to consider the idea that outcome is the thing that we are measuring. On the other hand, it's really helpful. Because if we get measured at any given moment by what we happen to be doing or saying or living out at that particular moment, we're in trouble. But God's grace is manifested over the long term to bring about these outcomes that give glory to God. And so we keep falling on His grace as we live this life day to day, asking Him to bring fruit that gives Him glory. All right, so going back to this progression here. You have a way of life that leads to certain outcomes. But it's really interesting, actually, that the author calls us then to imitate their faith. He doesn't say, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their way of life. That's the temptation sometimes. We see somebody who's doing a good job and say, I want to do exactly what they're doing. But ways of life are different for different people in different circumstances. Times change. The challenges in your life are different than the challenges in my life. And so the way that our faith is manifested in our different circumstances is going to look different for different people. You can't always do just what you see somebody else doing. Instead, the author tells us, imitate their faith. Because their faith is the thing that is manifested in their way of life and that leads to the desirable outcomes. Consider the outcome of their way of life, but imitate their faith. And then the wonderful connection in this passage. Have you ever memorized Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a wonderful verse. Talks about Jesus who never fails. Jesus who never goes away. Jesus who never changes. He's always there. We can always count on Him. But this verse wasn't given to us totally without any context. This verse follows right after an admonition to imitate people's faith. Jesus Christ is the essence of our faith. These people who we are remembering, these people whom we have admired, these people who we want to exemplify in our own lives, these are people who followed Jesus Christ. He is the source of that grace that is manifested in those outcomes. He is the source of the good news that we are spreading and so having a foundational influence in someone else's life. He is the content of that faith. It's not a set of teaching that we're pounding into someone's mind. It's a life, the life of Jesus Christ and truth, truth about Him. He is our faith. And manifesting Jesus in our lives day to day, bringing it all before Him and saying, Jesus, please manifest Yourself in my life today and manifest Yourself in the people that I'm influencing, in the end leads to outcomes that bring God great glory. So the thing that we are called to in this passage is on a regular basis, spend some time in thought. Spend some time in prayerful, thankful thought about the people who have been influential in our lives and made us who we are today. And recognize that at its root, it is Jesus at work in their lives that made them the people who they are and the people who we are. And then say, I want to be that kind of person. Do you want to be a person of influence? Do you want to be a mom of influence? Or a grandmom? A Sunday school teacher? Do you want to be a dad of influence? Or a youth leader? Do you want to be somebody who is actually used in a foundational way in somebody else's life? There's some advice given us here in this passage. And the first thing is, stick with the Word of God. Devote yourself to the Word of God and to teaching the Word of God, to speaking the Word of God in the lives of those that He brings within your sphere of influence. There's all kinds of philosophy out there, but for the most part, it's just empty philosophy if it is not infused with the Word of God. That is the power for change. Not great things that we might happen to come up with, but what He has told us in His unfailing Word. That is the power for faith. That is the power for sanctification. If you want to be a person of influence, stick with the Word of God. If you want to be a person of influence, keep leaning on Jesus. He's the essence of our faith. He is the fountain of grace that can be manifested in our interactions. He is the source of the life that we desire to pass on to others. Stick with the Word of God and cling to Jesus. Keep leaning on Him. And then the last thing here, and I think it's so important, don't give up. I don't know how many times I've thought, I'm so glad that this isn't the end of the story. Right now it's the middle of the story. We could be thinking of sad events in the lives of people that we love. Folks who are not following closely with Jesus. It's not the end of the story. It's still the middle. We could be thinking of somebody that we have been praying for weeks or years or even decades that they would come to faith in Jesus. It's not the end of the story yet. It's still the middle of the story. We are not told to give great thought and to draw great significance from where things stand today. We are told to give great thought and to draw significant meanings out of the end of the story, the outcome. And God's Word and the life of Jesus manifested through us in others leads to outcomes that glorify the Lord. So stick with the Word, keep leaning on Jesus, and don't forget, it's not the end of the story yet. He's still at work, and as we're committed to Him, He will continue His work. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this admonition to spend some time. And Lord, I pray that You would bring to our minds today or in the course of this week, whenever we have some moments to reflect, whenever we take some time to think and to remember, remind us of the countless people who have poured themselves into us and through whom You have made us who we are today. Thank You that by Your grace, You have given us women and men of influence, godly examples. Thank You for Your Word that You have used to save us by Your grace, to form us in our character to be more and more like Jesus. Thank You for Your promise that You are always at work to this very day and that You will keep on working. And so Lord, we, having paused and remembered and giving thanks for those who have poured themselves into our lives, we ask You to pour out Your grace on us, to use us for Your glory in the lives of others that You've given us, friends and neighbors, children within our church family or our own family. You bring them to us because You want to minister Your grace to them. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, that the life of Jesus really would flow out of us, that the love of Jesus really would flow out of us to people around us, that you really would change broken lives and make them beautiful things as you minister your grace through us. It's amazing to think that we can be used in that way, but that's what you've chosen to do. And so we put ourselves in your hands, asking that you would use us, grateful that you would choose to use us in any way that you see fit, praying for your grace at work in us to bring you great glory. In Jesus' name, amen.